Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, there's a little bit of Aaron Judge news about basically leaning against the Dodgers signing him. So we're going to talk about that. And then we are going to get Thanksgiving kicked off by talking about Dodgers things that we are thankful for. So that's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. That guy next to me is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you a smart fan, the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And Vince, I think, you know, we always brag a little bit that we never miss a day. It's been since March of 2019 that we've been doing this show at least 5 days a week and have never missed a day. If we were ever going to miss a day, it probably would have been yesterday. The stars aligned against us, and yet we still put out a show. So I think it's safe to say that we will never, ever, 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 ever miss a show for the rest of everyone's lives. I'm pretty proud of that, Vince.
Yeah, you can count on us more than you can count on a lot of things in life. So there you go.
Death, taxes, and Locked On Dodgers. Put that on a t-shirt. Speaking of things you can count on, the Dodgers offered a high average annual value short-term contract to a big free agent, and he turned it down. From what we gather anyway, there was a report from I can't remember the guy's name now. I knew he was a Spanish language reporter, and his name just escaped me, but he said that the Dodgers had offered Aaron Judge $215 million. He didn't say how long the contract offer was for, but he said $215 million, and the Judge and his team have already rejected it. No word on whether that is the Dodgers' one and only offer or if that was an opening offer. And specifically, since we don't know how many years it was, my guess, Vince, is that that was a five-year deal that they were offering, which would put it at like $43 million per year. And which, you know, very high average annual value, short enough term. Judge is going to be 31 in April. And so, it's not surprising that he would turn that down. I don't think he's going to get a higher AAV than that. But when you're Judge's age, I think he knows this is his one big shot at a big free agency. And so he's going to take the offer that is the most overall dollars, not the highest average annual value.
Yeah, this is, you know, different than the past times they've given or try to get somebody on a shorter term deal with high AAV. You know, Bryce Harper was 27, 28 when he hit free agency. You know, Garrett Cole is a little bit younger, and pitchers longevity is a little bit more than position players at this point, I feel like. So it's different, but you know, with Aaron Judge, he's all but assured to get at least 250 mil, more likely, you know, some people consider maybe 300 mil. I don't know if he'll get that, but he's for sure going to get 250 plus. So if you're going to get guaranteed 250 plus, even if it's for more years, you know, realistically, Aaron Judge, the decline could happen, you know, in the next few years. The decline could happen as soon as next year. You never know with a lot of guys these days. With a guy his size, you know, there hasn't been a lot of guys his size that have had longevity in baseball or in any other sport, other than maybe offensive tackles. So, you know, for him, he's looking for the security. And realistically, he has a team in the Giants and a team in the Yankees that are a little bit more desperate than the Dodgers are to have him in their lineup. So it would, you know, make sense that he wouldn't accept the Dodgers' offer. And realistically, you know, we never really, the Dodgers were linked to him and supposedly they're going to make a run for him, but just based on what we know and how we've seen the front office work the last few years, it always seemed like it was kind of going to be something that happened if Judge, let's just say the Yankees and Giants both gave up on him, basically, because they're going to give him more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And John Heyman was on the radio in Chicago today, and he was talking about Aaron Judge and said he said that the Yankees won't let themselves be outbid for Aaron Judge. We already heard a week or two ago that the Giants won't let themselves be outbid for Aaron Judge. And unless they're going to work out some sort of custody sharing agreement, it seems to me like one of those teams is going to get outbid for Aaron Judge. And the only real question is how far into the game of chicken do they get before the, one of them calls the other team's bluff? Because, I mean, if you're Aaron Judge, and more specifically Aaron Judge's agent, you got to be just sitting there licking your lips, hearing two different teams say, we're not going to let ourselves be outbid. And no team, the teams aren't saying it publicly. It's sources saying it. And you know, the team ownership is wanting to find those sources and chop their heads off, because that's not a good way to negotiate, by starting off by saying, yeah, we're going to pay more than anybody else. And, but you know, that's basically the position the Giants and Yankees are both in for different reasons. The Yankees kind of need Judge. He's a Yankee. Losing him would be, it would be a big hit to the organization. The Giants, on the other hand, they need another outfielder. They have the payroll flexibility, and Judge makes sense just from, you know, being a local product and all that. So many reasons why Judge to the Giants makes sense. So many reasons why Judge back to the Yankees makes sense. And, you know, the Dodgers had to know that their offer wasn't going to be accepted. And maybe it was just to kind of set a baseline, you know, okay, Aaron, here's the first offer. Make sure that you make those other guys pay a whole lot more than that for you if you're going to sign with them. Because if it was a five-year offer, the Dodgers, what they did, at least subliminally, was say, dude, you're worth $43 million a year. And, you know, if he goes after a nine-year contract and then he says, by the way, I'm worth $43 million a year, that's $387 million. And, you know, I don't think he's going to get that, but that's, I think that's part of what the Dodgers were doing, was setting that expectation in his mind of to make sure that if he does end up with the Giants, at least they pay a crap load of money for him.
Yeah, and it's interesting with the Giants, because like they don't have a lot in place. They're not a good team right now. They weren't a good team last year. And you know, just on the other point, when they were kind of considering shortstops, or they were set to be considering shortstops, and that they would ask the shortstops to move to second base for Brandon Crawford. None of those four shortstops that are free agents, maybe Dansby Swanson, but the other three, nobody's moving to second base for Brandon Crawford. So that, you know, I don't know where that report came from, but that was not going to happen. That's not going to happen, you know. And then for Judge, it's a matter of, I kind of wouldn't mind if he goes to the Giants. He's not going to do too much to fill their overall team needs. And if, you know, at some point they're going to have some type of payroll to deal with, and the, you know, for them to put a lot of eggs into one basket rather than try to spread it around and get a bunch of different guys to fill different roles, I'm cool with that. And, you know, when it comes to the Dodgers, this is, you know, a blessing and a curse as a Dodger fan, where, you know, you'll be in on every free agent or have the ability to be in on every free agent, but you also know the front office is smart enough to not overpay, or at least not, you know, they haven't really overpaid yet. Now, the Mookie Betts deal at some point may become a bit of an overpay, but they've already gotten the value from it. They, you know, they won a World Series, and they've, you know, probably win at least hopefully one or two or three or four more before that time comes where he loses value. Freddie Freeman realistically probably won't lose value over the course of his contract. So it's a blessing and a curse that the Dodgers operate like this, but, you know, I don't know if Aaron Judge is the guy I'm trying to go all in with anyways. Yeah, he had last year was an incredible year, but before that, he, you know, has dealt with injuries. He's had good seasons, but dealt with injuries. Like I said, he's a big guy. The DH in the National League would help eventually, but, you know, realistically, if they can just be in on it, drive up the price, and then make some of these other deals that we don't even expect yet, that's probably what's the best way to go about the offseason.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable saying I'm okay with the Giants signing him, just like I wasn't comfortable saying I would rather face the, you know, the Nationals in the 2019 NLDS, because you never know, you know, what's going to happen and what can happen. So I'm not going to say that out loud, but yeah, I don't disagree with any of the things you just said. We're going to come back in a minute. We are going to kick off Thanksgiving week by talking about some of the Dodgers things that we are thankful for. One of the things we're thankful for is that you continue to check us out every day. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for making us your first listen, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package thefts spiked nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. Simply Safe was named the best home security of 2022 by U.S. News & World Report for the third year in a row. Simply Safe blanket your own protection with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door. HD security cameras for inside and outside your home. Smarter ways to detect motion that only alert you when a threat is real. And even hazard sensors that instantly detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring costs under $1 a day. That's less than half the cost of ADT's traditional professional installed plans. So don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system we recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, we are back. We want to thank you for making us your first listen every weekday morning. When you're done with this, for your second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Vince, it's November 23rd today, Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving here in the United States. I know Canada did theirs, I think, the first Saturday in October, if I remember right. I spent a Thanksgiving in Canada once. In 1998, I happened to be in Canada on Canadian Thanksgiving. So I got two Thanksgivings that year, which was a lot of fun for a guy of my girth. But, you know, Thanksgiving is a fun week. It marks the midpoint of Christmas season, which is a beautiful thing. And you get to be with family, eat food, watch football. I don't watch many NFL games, but I definitely at least have, a game or two or three on throughout that day. And then that night we watch Elf to kick off real Christmas movie season. But I thought we would talk about some Dodgers related things that we are thankful for. And, Vince, do you want to go first?
Sure. I don't mind. I think we do this, or we've done this every year so far, and some of the answers are probably going to be similar or even the same. I honestly couldn't remember what I said the last few years, but, I think, you know, as you see other teams operate this offseason, you just have to be thankful for, you know, the Dodgers front office and management and ownership and, you know, everything else that combines into it. Because, you know, you think about a team like the Reds, who traded Kyle Farmer because he was probably going to make around $6 million. And then they picked up a shortstop who, I don't know, maybe just as good or similar, maybe not as good as Kyle Farmer. But he's going to make $3 million less. You look at a team like the Brewers, who have these great starting pitching, you know, had the strong back end of the bullpen. They traded Josh Hader last year because of money reasons. They just traded Hunter Renfro today because, you know, probably he was going to be too expensive. And you think about the Dodgers, and they're over here, you know, operating differently than a lot of other teams. Now, yeah, have the Dodgers shed some payroll this offseason so far? Yes, technically they have. But that doesn't mean they're not going to restock it or shore it up or get it back to where it was. Just a matter of them calculating how it is. So it's always, you know, we can talk about all the heartbreak of the last 10 years other than the 1 year, and we can talk about everything else. But you give me a team that's in the playoffs every single year, or at least competing for the playoffs every single year, you're getting me 5-6 months of baseball that I can watch on a consistent basis and be glad about. And, you know, as someone who is a Raider fan, and they've only had like two winning seasons in the last 20 years, and you know, two playoff appearances in the last 20 years. It's a big difference. And, you know, it's something that you can be excited about every spring, no matter how it comes down to it. Because, you know, everyone technically has a chance when spring training starts. But realistically, there's a lot of teams that don't have any chance at all.
Yeah. And as Dodgers podcasters, sometimes I wonder, like, how does our buddy at Locked On Pirates do it? Like, how would you do a daily podcast about a crappy team that's not even trying to win? So, yeah, as podcasters, it's definitely something to be thankful for. I'm going to go a little bit more superficial with my first one. My second one's gonna blow you away. But my first one, I am thankful that Dodger Blue looks so good on me. And I'm not saying I look great in Dodger Blue. I'm saying I look as good as I possibly can look in Dodger Blue. What you're seeing right here, this is the best Jeff Snyder gets. And imagine if I was wearing black and orange. Ew. Like, and there's so many, like, even teams that don't have terrible color schemes, like, nobody has anything that looks as good as Dodger Blue. And so you and I can get on this podcast, Vince. You know, neither of us, we don't have people beating down our doors to offer us modeling contracts, you know. We're not bad-looking dudes, but we're, you know, we're just kind of your average, you know, moderately to severely overweight, you know, bearded gentlemen wearing Dodger hats. And we look great on this podcast because it's Dodger Blue. And so, like, I don't know. I know I just got lucky. I was born into a Dodger family. My dad grew up in L.A. He was 4 years old when the Dodgers moved to L.A. And his family said, okay, we've always loved baseball. We are now a Dodger family because now we have a hometown team. And there was even rumblings back in 1957. There was one, it wasn't like a real possibility, but for like a day, they kicked around the idea of what if the Dodgers moved to San Francisco and the Giants moved to L.A. instead? And Vince, you and I could have been born into Giants fan families. And we would be doing this podcast wearing black and orange. Like Ben Caspick would be the host of Locked On Dodgers, the San Francisco Dodgers. And like, I think how awful would that have been to grow up with Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper instead of Vin Scully and all of these things. Yeah. They got Willie Mays. Sure. We got Jackie Robinson, you know, and like, I don't know, like, everything about being a Dodger fan is just a wonderful thing. And I understand why some people hate the Dodgers because kind of like what you said, the Dodgers have a great front office and a lot of money and they're really good at player development and drafting and all the different ways you can build a team. They're really good at doing it. And so if I wasn't a Dodger fan, I hate the Dodgers too. But I am a Dodger fan because I like to think it's because God loves me, but you know, I know God loves everybody and I don't know why he sees fit to inflict on some people to be born into Giants fans, families or whatever. But I am thankful on Thanksgiving and every day that I'm a Dodger fan and Dodger Blue looks good on me.
Yeah. I mean, you think about the blue and you think about if you're a Dodger fan, realistically, you're going to wear a shirt or a jersey that's white or gray or blue, occasionally black. If, you know, if some people prefer that. But if you were like a Giants fan, you're wearing white or black or like orange would be a primary color of your t-shirt. And, you know, for like I said, for guys like us, you know, that's very easy to just be like, oh, pumpkin, you know.
Yeah, this, we're already pumpkin shaped. We don't need to be pumpkin colored.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, Dodger blue. And, you know, you see it with other guys or when they come to the Dodgers. No, it's very hard, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone that doesn't look good in Dodger
Blue. Or at least as good as they can, kind of like me, you know? Even Juan Uribe looked as good as Juan Uribe is going to look in Dodger Blue. Max Scherzer, it was awesome to see Scherzer last year in Dodger Blue. When you know, and so many guys make a cameo with the Dodgers at the end of their careers, you know, Jim Thome and Manny Ramirez and Albert Pujols, and, you know, everybody's like, man, it's awesome that we got them in Dodger Blue, at least for 1 year, so. All right, we're going to come back in just a minute. We each have one more thing to talk about that we are thankful for. So, again, we're thankful for you. Thanks for making us your first listen, and please continue to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are back for one last segment. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Reading about BetOnline and betting on soccer, I guess you could probably bet on the World Cup, right?
I would imagine so.
Yeah. If you're betting on, I guess.
If you would have bet $100 on Saudi Arabia, you would have won $1,900.
Wow. That if you had bet $100, you would have won $1,900. Man, Mattress Max should have got on that. Is that his name?
Yeah, Mattress Max.
That was a. I've actually watched. I think I watched three games so far in the World Cup. So I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I actually watched the LAFC final. What do they call the MLS Cup final? And that game was awesome. And so then it was fun to watch the U.S. playing against Wales and seeing Gareth Bale and the guy who's on LAFC who plays for the U.S. team too.
Kellen Acosta.
Yeah. And Acosta got a yellow card for fouling Bale. That was fun to see. And I soccer is one of those sports I really enjoy watching it if I care who wins. And so I get into the World Cup a lot. And every once in a while, I'll go through a phase where I'm into, you know, Real Salt Lake. They're our local MLS team up here. I could definitely see getting into LAFC. I watched that game or that match. Sorry, I got to get the lingo right. Mostly because, you know, I knew that you cared and you were stuck in a hotel room in Houston and I wanted to support you. And I was texting you during the match and it was a roller coaster of a match. So yeah, go bet on some soccer if you're into betting and soccer. But back to Dodger talk. You want to do your second thing that you're thankful for, Vince?
Yeah. And this one, not a dig at you, but just in general, as a Dodger fan.
I'm excited already.
No, it's just being in LA, like, you know, living in LA, being close to it. Obviously, you know, with some of the travel during the postseason, just in general, like, not obviously the Dodgers weren't playing because at that point they had been eliminated, but just thinking about games starting at 10 p.m. if I was living in East Coast time, and, you know, if I was living in East Coast, depending obviously what my job was and everything else, it'd be a matter of, okay, am I staying up for these games, or is it just a matter of I'm going to find out who wins in the morning? It would be, you know, a combination of things. Luckily for me, you know, my job here, I get to go to pretty much any Dodger game I want to if I want, you know, as a media member. Having the All-Star game here this year was fun. You know, having playoffs here every year is fun, even if I don't always end up going. But just, you know, during summer, just thinking about, like, oh, I don't know what to do tonight. Oh, the Dodgers are playing. Oh, what tickets are look like. Or nowadays, oh, let me apply for the game tomorrow and think about going as a, you know, a credential. So it's a different type of blessing. And I don't know if – I honestly don't know how my fandom would be if I wasn't on at least Central time or – closer East Coast time would, like I said, definitely depend on the job, but everything else. And, you know, I know you plan your, you know, your trips to Dodger Stadium and it's a little bit different, but to just be able to just get up and go anytime, or even like just tomorrow, if I wanted to go to Dodger Stadium, I'm pretty sure the store is open and you can hang out right there and have a seat and just sit there at Dodger Stadium and just, you know, it brings back all the memories and everything else. And you always have some type of, you know, therapy or whatever you consider it, whereas you're a Dodger fan, how whatever joy or whatever feelings it brings, it's right there. And, you know, I don't take it for granted. I have been, the farthest I went away was the Bay Area. And even then I was here like once a month anyway, so it wasn't too bad, but yeah, it's just a little bit different experience.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. Our buddy Javi, who does Locked On Padres, I think he lives in New Jersey. He's somewhere in the Eastern time zone and, you know, doing a daily podcast about a West Coast baseball team. I don't know, like that's rough. And being a Padre fan is already rough enough. But yeah, that time zone thing, it's hard enough for me that Dodger games don't start till 8-10 PM where I live. You know, it's a challenge. So yeah, I enjoy where I live. I really like the drive between here and LA. I love driving and I love being in my car and, I've done that drive so many times. I could do it in my sleep, and I probably have once or twice. And, but yeah, I definitely could see the appeal of living as close to Dodger Stadium as you do. So, all right. My second thing that I'm thankful for, and then we'll wrap this up. How to put this? I guess the easy way to put it is I'm thankful for Scott Boras, super agent, MLB super agent Scott Boras. And I'll tell you why. In 2005, the Dodgers drafted Luke Hochevar with their first pick. Dodgers didn't have a first round draft pick that year because they had signed Derek Lowe. And back then the penalty system, you lost your pick. And so they lost their pick to the Red Sox for signing Derek Lowe. And so their first pick was the 40th pick, which was a compensation pick because the Mariners had signed Adrian Beltre. And so that was the Dodgers' first pick. They picked Luke Hochevar, and Hochevar was a guy who had been predicted to maybe go higher in the draft than 40th, but the reason he didn't was because of signability concerns. And so he dropped down to 40, so the Dodgers took him. And as it turns out, those signability concerns turned out to be well-founded because the Dodgers couldn't come to a deal. He had Scott Boras as his agent, and they negotiated and couldn't come to an agreement. And then Hochevar fired Scott Boras as his agent and hired Matt Sosnick, and the Dodgers and Hochevar quickly agreed to a deal for $2.5 million or so, almost $3 million. And then the next day, before the contract had been signed, Hochevar changed his mind about switching agents, went back to Scott Boras, and went back to not having a deal with the Dodgers. They ultimately were unable to sign him. He was ineligible to pitch in college anymore because he had been in the draft and hired an agent and everything. And so he pitched in independent leagues for a year. And then the next year, 2006, Hochevar re-entered the draft, and the Royals took him with the first overall pick. The Dodgers ended up taking a young man by the name of Clayton Kershaw in the draft that year. If Hochevar had signed with the Dodgers in 2005, he would have not have been in the 2006 draft. So the Royals probably would have taken Andrew Miller with their first pick. Andrew Miller ended up dropping all the way down to number six with the Tigers. And the Tigers have said, well, Keith Law said that he heard from Tiger sources that if Andrew Miller had not been available, the Tigers would have taken Clayton Kershaw, which means that Kershaw never would have gotten to the Dodgers. So if Luke Hochevar had signed with the Dodgers in 2005, the Dodgers would not have had, they probably would have ended up with Kyle Drabek instead of Clayton Kershaw. And that's enough to make me cry. And so everybody hates Scott Boras. Everybody, you know, calls him greedy, says that he's, you know, terrible person, all this stuff. But just remember, if it wasn't for Scott Boras, the Dodgers would have had Luke Hochevar and Kyle Drabek instead of Clayton Kershaw. And so for that, on Thanksgiving, we can say, thank you, Scott Boras, for being the way you are, because it worked out in our favor one time in a really, really good way 16 years ago.
Yeah, and indirectly, if you get deep into it, he's Gerrit Cole's agent, Bryce Harper's agent. They both didn't accept Dodger offers. Dodgers don't get Mookie Betts without that. You know, those are not as direct as, you know, maybe this one is, but indirectly, Scott Boras has been part of the reason the Dodgers have Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw.
Yep. Thank you, Scott Boras. DM me for my address so you can send me the royalty check for me saying nice things about you on this podcast.
I'll write you a poem.
Man, I hope there's ships involved. All right. That's going to do it for today. We do have two more episodes this week. We're going to be pre-recording them. They're most likely going to be mailbag episodes. Usually not much news breaks around Thanksgiving anyway. I think the last time any real news broke around Thanksgiving was when Curt Schilling signed with the Red Sox, I think, over Thanksgiving dinner. But beyond that, we're not expecting any big news. So if you have questions, doesn't have to be about current things, any Dodgers related questions, shoot them over to us. And, we will get to as many as we can over the next 2 days. Vince, you have anything else for today?
Nothing else for today.
All right. We want to thank you all again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. It really does mean the world to us. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.